Here's a quiz for every one of us. We've just taken a quiz. We took a test just now. This is a quiz. Who said this? When you're cleansed and you know you're clean, the way is open for the abiding life. When you're cleansed and you know you're clean, the way is open for the abiding life. HRW, as would be Uncle Hans, the founder of this camp. And this year, this is our 74th season, right? Do I have that right? 74th season of Pilgrim Camp. Thank God for his faithfulness. And this year also marked in March the 50th year that Uncle Hans went to be with the Lord, 1969. And so we thought for this season we'd like to just remember him, remember the things he taught us, and just consider the truths that we have been given and the blessing that has flowed down to us because of his ministry and given this to God. And so I'm going to pass out the book that will be used throughout the season by the staff. And if someone could help me with this, Courtney, you want to help me? Everyone can get one, receive one. Our sister Edith Blumhofer has been helping us these past few years, putting together this booklet, selecting things for us to consider. And this year she went through and gave us some of the truths that Uncle Hans passed along to us for us to consider as a staff. And also I think Brother Paul is going to give it to every guest as well. So we'll have this throughout the season. For those of you who minister here, I encourage you to use it. And for the staff, you'll read it and be blessed, I'm sure. And now I have put it in your hands, and you're going to be looking through it. You're not going to pay any attention to anything I'm going to say now, right? But don't you think that's a pretty neat picture on the cover? Isn't that great? And that's Pilgrim Camp. That's a Pilgrim Camp picture. I love the white shoes. Yeah. That's great. Great shot of Uncle Hans. Praise God. I guess I can also say this, that Sister Edith also put together a little booklet, thank you, about his life, and that'll also be available. It's in printing this week. I got it right from her mouth just before I came into meeting, that the book is in printing and we should have it soon, be able to give it out. But I just wanted to call your attention to just a number of things tonight in this book. First of all, if you open up the cover, the front cover, there's a verse, or the verses that we've selected for this season as a theme for us. Again, as a staff, and so let's read that together. It begins with the word delight. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. About 10 years ago, the Lord spoke into my heart this verse, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This has been my confidence ever since, so that I have no anxiety about anything, but leave the disposition of my life to Him. And I have experienced one miracle after another of his care over me. And that was taken from a letter that he wrote to his mother when he told her about having this call of going to New York in 1925. And so thank God for, again, someone who was willing to be led by God and to commit his way to the Lord. Maybe we could just open our Bibles to that psalm. It's Psalm 37. I don't know if he had a favorite passage. I'm not that old to really say I sat under his ministry. But I believe that this psalm was one of his favorites. And the thoughts that are expressed here in these verses, you'll find them a number of places in this little booklet. From his own personal experience, how God would remind him often. You've committed my way, or you've committed your way to me. I'll work it out. I'll bring it to pass. And it's a good word for us. And I know that we have different translations, so I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 37 for us. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." So we have these commands here. You might call them precepts. At the staff meeting, the first staff meeting we had in Ridgewood just this past, I guess, May, maybe it was April, I just considered some of these phrases in connection with the camp season. This thought of delighting ourselves in the Lord. Why are we here at camp? Why do we come to work at camp? Why did you come to work at camp? Are you desiring to delight yourself in the Lord and his work? Are you giving yourself wholeheartedly to this task that's before us? You know, I think on the staff application, does it say we do everything joyfully? Is it still there, that phrase? Yes. Did you know you signed that? Anything you do it joyfully. Any job you're given, you do it joyfully. Why? Because we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. We're not here to please ourselves. We find him to be the joy of our life. There is joy in serving Jesus. Jesus, it gets better though. It's Jesus is the joy of living. Have you found that to be so? I think that's part of this thought of delighting yourself in the Lord. Now, Uncle Hans, he used that phrase a number of times in different ways, and we're going to read something just a little bit later of his interpretation, or one of his interpretations of what it means to delight yourself in the Lord. All right? But I think one side of that is finding our joy in God. We go to God our exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Jesus, make yourself so real and precious to everyone that comes to camp this season, that they would find delight in serving you, that you would become the joy of their life. I think that's something we can pray this days that we're together, that those on staff would really delight themselves in the Lord and find joy in serving Jesus. And then we have this other thought that goes with that, and it says, "He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I mentioned this at the staff meeting. I'm saying this because Jeffrey's here. He's going to say, "Brother Phil, you said that same thing that you said at the staff meeting," because he's a smart guy. He remembers everything. But the thought there is, you know, sometimes I've heard pastors, you know, try to say God's going to give you the desires you should have, and I guess that may be true. But in the literal sense, it means he's going to give you the petitions that you're praying. Isn't that wonderful? If you're doing what he wants you to do, if you're delighting yourself in him, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what is the promise? All these things will be added unto you. He'll give you the petitions of your heart. He'll answer your prayers. He'll fulfill your desires. And I think that's the New Testament, you know, verse that goes along with this is just seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingship of God, his reign in your life. All these things will be added unto you. You're not going to lack anything. I know many of you here could testify to that. Have you lacked anything? Because you gave yourself fully to God, because you said, God, I'm putting you first. I'm going to do your will. I want you to reign in my life. Have you lacked anything? Have we lacked? No. There's been an abundance. Why? Because God has taken delight in us. As we delight in Him, He gives us the petitions of our heart. It goes on to say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way to the Lord. I think the idea there is I just kind of roll the responsibility on Him. You know, He's in charge. And so I transfer that responsibility, whatever it is, the ever task He's given me to do. And here at camp, it seems, as someone said today, it's almost a monumental task every year to get this camp open and ready for another season. And then to think of all the staff that needs to be supplied. How many is it, Brother Paul, typically staff? 120 people. Volunteers. That's an awesome responsibility, Brother Paul, that you carry. No, you've learned to commit. Commit it to the Lord. How else can it be done unless He does it? How else can it be done unless He supplies the counselors? He supplies the staff for the kitchen. He supplies the groundskeepers. And He has been faithful to do that as we have learned to commit the camp to Him. Lord Jesus, it's your camp. You supply. We commit this season to you and to your working. Every aspect of it. Does God know? Is there any lack in God? No. He's able to supply for every need. And so we commit our way unto Him. We trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He does it. There's a wonderful song that we learned as children. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And so, Lord, we're trusting You, and we're learning to walk in obedience to Your will. And, Lord, You will do the work. You will bring it to pass. Our brother Ernie reminded us again that we should believe for salvations and healings and baptisms in the Holy Spirit. But who does that? Who does that? God does it. God does it. It's not anything that we can produce. We commit our way to Him. We commit this season to Him. We commit everyone who comes upon these grounds to Him. And He does the work. And so that takes the pressure off of us, doesn't it? If we've learned to roll the responsibility on Him. And then this last one in verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord. You like that? You like that? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. But God, you have to do it now. God, we need it now. We live in a society, a culture that we like things instantly. We have instant messages. We have instant grams. Is that instant? Instagram, right? It's instant, right? It's right away. I need it now. Anytime we have a question on Monday mornings, Brother Ernie's got his internet, he's got the answer right away. Right? We got it. And we need to learn to rest in the Lord and to slow down. I think it was good for God. Well, God, I'm telling you what to do. It was good for you, God, to slow us down tonight. To get us still. So that He can work. Someone has said it's God works best when we're still. Does that make sense? God works best when we're still. And so rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. His timing is perfect. And so, Lord, we're expecting You to accomplish Your will in 2019 at Pilgrim Camp.
Yes, we are.
We're going to wait upon you. Rest upon your promises. We have his word, don't we? That's the place to rest. The promises of God. Yea and amen. His faithfulness allows me to rest, knowing that he is good and he is love and he will do what's best. And so, Lord, we want to delight ourselves in you. Amen, you do, Lord. Oh, God, and we want to commit our way to you. We want to trust in you. We want to rest in you. We want to wait patiently for you to do what you alone can do. If anything that will be done at Pilgrim Camp that will last for eternity, God must do it. That's the bottom line. And he chooses to use empty and yielded vessels to accomplish his will. At the back of the booklet, there's an article entitled, Delight Thyself Also in the Lord. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to read that with you, meaning that if someone, we can just go around and randomly, if you would read a paragraph, that would be great. And then after we finish reading, I'm going to sit down, and I'd like you to share. And I'm not here to monopolize these meetings at all. I'd like everyone who feels they want to say something, whether it's from this reading, Delight also Thyself Also in the Lord, or from Psalm 37, share with us. I know Brother Kenny has his New Year's text from Psalm 37. So that was just a little hint. Okay, but let's be free. Let's be free to speak as God moves us. All right? Delight Thyself Also in the Lord. We'll begin.
The heart can never serve two masters. It cannot serve itself and God, nor can you delight yourself in yourself and in the Lord at the same time.
You're only wasting your time if you are occupied with yourself. Either admiring yourself or despairing over yourself is ridiculous. The Bible says that you should deny yourself, that you should die to self.
You thought that maybe we can fix up this self life a little bit. Anyway, make it a little bit acceptable. So we spend our lives patching up and sewing these broken threads and trying to fix up this self. God did not want us to spend a moment over it. He says, deny it. Reckon yourselves to be dead. Crucify it. Away with it. You don't know this fellow. You have nothing to do with him.
The Apostle Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This wonderful mystery that I have been crucified with Christ makes me to glory in the cross. There God accomplished what no one else ever could have accomplished. He delivered me entirely of self, the good self and the bad self. It has been crucified with Christ. If it had not been crucified with Christ, there would still remain some damnable part of the self-life. Only as I reckon it to remain, only as I admire it or despair over it, only as I occupy myself with self, does it exist at all. But God says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. When Jesus Christ cried, it is finished, he finished it for all who will have it so, and you can jump out of this self-life into a moment of time and be done with it forever. And whenever it pops up, you say, I deny this. I have nothing to do with it. My occupation is now to rejoice in the Lord.
That is why God calls upon all of us to delight ourselves also in the Lord. Moment by moment, God wants me to draw life from Jesus. He wants me to be flooded with joy because I have Jesus. Because Jesus is mine. Is he mine? Certainly he is mine. He offered himself to the thief on the cross. Don't you think he will give himself to you?
Oh God.
Jesus is a great lover. Here's a very personal call to your own heart from your very personal Savior. What does he say to you? He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I know that you are bad. You don't have to keep telling me that. I knew that long ago. I knew it before I was able to reveal it to you. What I really want you to know is how good I am, how loving I am, how sufficient I am, how that I have come to be your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption. Don't you want me? Then quit fooling your time away, looking at yourself, admiring yourself, or despairing over yourself. I have crucified that self-life, and I want you to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. And I want you to turn away from it and count it, but refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord.
You are really of no account, and it really does not make any difference whether you are able or unable, whether you are good or bad. The thing that does make a difference is whether God has kindled in you a wonderful, blazing light of mercy, and that light is Jesus himself. And if you will occupy yourself with him alone, set your love upon him, let your faith be in him, remember that his grace is your life, and his grace is sufficient for you. Whenever you find yourself deficient, Jesus Christ will be more than abundantly able to make you all that God wants you to be, and to keep you like that moment by moment.
Amen.
What a wonderful call to belong all together to Jesus. I really believe that's a foundational truth. People are seeking God and wanting God, but really to find God and have God in your life, first you have to be fully given. You have to be consecrated. You have to tell Jesus, Lord, I give you my life. Whatever you want for me, whatever you have for me, my life is in your hands. And when you put your life in God's hands, maybe I'm speaking to some young people here tonight. I remember when I was sitting in those seats years ago myself, and I remember the call of God, and God spoke to my heart, give yourself wholly to me, to follow me. And you know, I heard that call once, and I gave myself to the Lord very diligently, but I saw it was something that had to be worked out in my life. As I went along, there was things that came along, and again, there's decisions and things. And what was I going to do? Was I going to try to figure out what I should do? Or was I going to be given again? Lord, Jesus wants us to be given at every step of the way. Lord, what is your plan? Then you go on in life, you know, and then you get married, then you have children, then you keep going. And but still, it's that having that life of being given to the Lord. God, what is your plan? What do you want? And we've heard that tonight, and I was so touched by our brother, and several have spoken about that. And God is after something. He wants us to learn how to commit and to be given to him each step of the way. And when we put our hand to it, he'll show us, no, it won't work out right, but he wants us to delight in him and to believe him to be our all and in all. That, well, that Christ is all and in all. And it's something that's worked out step by step. And also praying, God, have your will and way in my life. Have your will and way this summer. Maybe God wants to do something different. But we sometimes can limit God because we have an idea what we think he wants to do. But oh, if we'll pray, God, you have your way. God, if there's something different you want to do, or Lord, if there's a change you want to make, God, show us. God, you be in charge. God, you come. I know even in our church, we started praying that way, and all of a sudden, God began to show me some things that were different. And when I followed what he said, things started happening. I thought, God, you know how to do things. And sometimes we think, you know, we have, this is the way it's done, or this is the way it shouldn't be done. But God wants us to pray. If you're a counselor, if you're in the kitchen, Lord, you help me to be all that you want me to be.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Lord, you make me to be a light and help my life, even just serving, being a blessing, that lives will be touched. If you're working with the children, Lord, help me to have that love and pray for those children. I was so blessed. Our brother here told how his mother, when she was a child, there was a minister in the fellowship here that laid hands on her as a child, and her life was touched. And here she got into ministry, married a minister, was in one of the churches in Williamsburg and pastored that church. And then she had children. Now her son is in ministry. Your life has an effect, and you can pray for people. You can pray that God will come to them and change them and fill them. Oh, when Jesus comes into a life, something happens. There's a light that comes on. And it's not anything. You can tell people all what to do, and you can quote scriptures, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes God to work in lives. And oh, he wants us to pray, and he wants us to believe for him to come, first to us, and then to come to others. Oh, let's delight ourselves in him. He is so wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to
God.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
All that I need, he will always.
Italian accent, and she would pray out, "Oh Lord, you know I'm an unworthy wife of the earth." And Uncle Hans used to mimic her and tell stories about her. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord can show us how unworthy we are. But it's not a healthy thing to stay that way.
That's right.
Recognize our need of Him, how low down we are. Then to see the marvelous grace and power of God to lift us to a higher plane. And he does that in meetings like this, in these the most quiet times. He unravels things in our lives. And I can attest to that, at a time when I needed God really badly, it was just something unsettling in my soul from the years of not giving myself to God. And it was only as I came up, actually up here to camp, and I know that it was in those times, in the quiet room, in the quiet times, in that prayer room, where God just worked in me. I didn't know what he was doing, but I just knew he was doing something. And I felt that jitteriness, that I had felt like I was on a caffeine high for months. And God just quieted my soul, whatever that was troubling me. In those quiet times, he lifted me up and delivered me totally from that. And I'm so thankful for that. So we can see ourselves, we can see our need, then we can see how great God is and how he can meet that need and lift us high into himself.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, that you have everything under control. Thank you, Lord, you're speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to change us and that you want to live out your life within us. You just want us to trust you more. Let us to rest in that wonderful grace of God, knowing that you have everything under control. We don't have to worry. We just have to rejoice in you and delight ourselves in you. Oh, God, I pray you'll do something even more powerful tonight, today, this whole week. Lord, to bring us into a deeper walk with you and a greater faith, Lord. Oh, God, to know that you have something more and much more wonderful for every one of us. Lord, we look to thee, even this night, to make eternal changes in every one for your great name's sake.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Brother Kenny and I were driving up today. We were talking a lot of things about the Lord, but one of the things that we talked about is we want God to continue to work in us. We want to have those changes. There's so much more that God wants to do for every single one of us. And I'm still not satisfied where I am. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that there's so much more, and I haven't even begun to know. And here I've been along with the Lord for 42 years, and I still want more. I'm not satisfied. And that's a great thing to have. I thank God that he's put that into my heart, that I still want to seek, and I still have a desire, and I still have a hunger. And when we lose that, it's a good... I remember hearing, I don't know if it was Mr. Walfogle's tapes, and then when we begin to lose that, it's like a barometer. Check yourself, and then get even if you don't want to, get on your knees and say, God, help me. Get the fire back. You know, get the enthusiasm back. Help me to praise more. Help me to praise louder. Help me to give a testimony. Help me to pray more. And when we do that, God comes to us and restores our souls. And we get that peace. We get that rest. And we get more light. But there's so much. Just think, this body, God wants. He wants to live out his life within us. And that's such a tremendous opportunity that the living God wants to live in our bodies. And then we get in the way, as we heard. You know, we got to get rid of ourselves. You know, we have to reckon ourselves dead because the old man will rise up. And thoughts will come in. Unappointed, and we need to check ourselves. But thank God we can learn to, we heard tonight, to rest in him and know and have confidence that he is going to complete that which he's begun in every one of us. And that is that we might grow up into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ by the Spirit of the living God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, thank you for your victory, Jesus. Thank you that you have the victory. Thank you that your life is in us and your life has conquered all of us. We've been risen with you. Hallelujah. To walk in newness of life. Lord, we get our eyes off ourselves. As we read, you know we're bad. You know it before we know it. And you know, Father, our down sittings and our uprisings. You know our faults. But Lord, I thank you that Christ is in us. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. And thou you've subdued all things unto yourself. We thank you that light, oh God, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and powers and dominion and might in every name that is named, not only in this world but the world to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of him that fills every one of us. So that resurrection life can bring us out of our death, out of our bondage, into Christ. Trust in him. Get your eyes on him. Get off. Stop thinking of your faults and your failures and trust in the Lord and rejoice in his victory, and he will do for you exceeding abundant above, and you will become a new creature, and your joy will be in him because you'll recognize you didn't do it. It wasn't works and performance. It was Christ alone, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The thing that we occupy ourselves with is the thing that we're trusting in. If we are occupied with ourselves, then we're trusting in ourselves. We occupy ourselves with the Lord, as we heard, we're trusting in him. And the Holy Spirit needs to show us what a waste of time it is to be occupied with yourself.
Amen.
You really waste time doing that. We don't, you know, we don't get anywhere that way. We find that we limit God when we're occupied with ourself, we say, well, I need to pray more. I didn't pray enough, so God can't answer yet. And I didn't do this right, so God can't, you know, manifest himself and do this. And we just limit what God wants to do. Instead of trusting in his mercy, we're trying to earn something or deserve something. And or else we think that we did a great job, and that pride hinders the God from working too, because then we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And so, as we heard in the article and here in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. Get your eyes off of yourself. If you've sinned, acknowledge your sin, bring it to the Lord, put it under the blood, and get your eyes back on Jesus, and just trust him and get taken up with his faithfulness and his mercy and his goodness. And that's how God works out his will in our lives. You know, we're living in a generation that's so occupied with self. I was talking to my kids. I said, who in the world ever thought to invent that self button on your camera so you can take a selfie? And then it's ridiculous. You're constantly seeing people taking pictures of themselves. We had a girl in our church that would go downstairs, and she would take one selfie after another, posing, smiling. And what are you going to do with those people? You know, and then you read articles of people falling off cliffs and taking selfies. And, you know, it's destructive. And I just think, my God, we're just, our culture is saturated with self. And God wants us as his people to get eyes off of ourselves. I was living here at Pilgrim Camp many years ago. And I remember at the end of the day, it's funny, these things are lessons that you never forget, and they're so simple, but God speaks them into your own heart. I remember at the end of the day, I just didn't feel clean. I didn't feel right. And I went to the Lord about that, and I said, Lord, what is that? What have I done? I couldn't think of anything that I had done that was particularly wrong. I was trying to do right, serving God here at camp, and so on. And the thought came to me, I spent a lot of time just thinking about myself. What I think about this, what my opinion is, how I feel about this. And I, just that itself made me feel unclean. Just to be occupied with myself, even my good self, which doesn't really exist, right? As far as God is concerned. But I never forgot that. Why did I feel unclean? Because you're just thinking about Kenny all day. You know, my opinions and my progress, my lack of progress, whatever it may be. And we're still learning to turn away from ourselves and to look at Jesus.
Yes,
and to praise him and expect everything from him.
Amen.
Praise God. Yes, we have to pray things through, and yes, we have to apply ourselves, but we don't say, Lord, until this, you can't do this, and I'll tell you when, you know, when you can. But trust in his mercy. Trust that at any moment God can, in his great mercy, do the thing that he chooses to do. And it doesn't depend on you, it depends on him. And that doesn't exempt us from doing the things that we ought to do, but it helps us to put our trust where it belongs, and that's in the Lord himself.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of
Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh Jesus, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now maybe there's someone else I don't want to not give opportunity. But before we go tonight, anyone want to say something yet?
Brother John Shrek was getting up.
Okay, who's the rat? Ken, did you tell them they stole your New Year's text?
He knew, yeah.
In case you're interested, those of you that are too young, that R stands for Rudolph, the author of this article. Hans Rudolph von Vogel. What caught my attention, among other things, was that long paragraph on the second page where he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I think that's from Jeremiah. I know that you are bad. You don't have to keep telling me. That thought came to me because I'm familiar with some of the German hymns. And one says, Ich will anstatt an dich zu denken, ins Meer der Liebe mich versenken. Verstehst?
Ja.
It means, instead of enumerating all my faults or all my successes, they can both derail me from the purposes of God. But he says, at the end of that verse in that song, instead I'm going to submerge myself in the ocean of the love of God. Can you imagine being surrounded by God's love, not natural love, but God, God's presence, and God's hovering over us, just surrounding us. It's difficult to picture that sometimes people use that to illustrate the fact that we're full of the Holy Spirit and that we are also surrounded by the Spirit of God. But there he talks about God's love, and God is so merciful and patient. And you would think that I would be a saint by now. I used to live next door to this man, the next room in the same house, and that will keep praying for me.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to sing yet number 345, 345, and then we'll change the order of the meeting. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together, 345. Precious bleeding sign. sigh. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Brother John Pry, would you pray with us, please?
Lord, hear our prayer, our cry.
Yes, Lord.
Search our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, know our ways. See if there be any wicked way, Lord. Cleanse us, draw us, restore to us, Lord, things that have been lost, dear God, through sin, through neglect.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Draw us near, God.
Yes.
Lord, that we might decrease and you might increase.
Yes, Lord.
Accomplish your purpose, Lord, these days, these hours that we have, Lord. Let them be profitable for your sake, God, for your glory, for our good. So we surrender, Lord. We yield. Accomplish your purpose now, we pray. Change us, shape us, mold us, O God, into your image and likeness. Make us more like Jesus, we pray.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord, for your glory and namesake, thank you, Lord, that that is your great desire for us. So we yield, Lord, into your hand, Lord. Take us, potter, and mold us for your sake.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So let's go to prayer. And if you feel you must go, go quietly. God bless you. Go with you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.